Hi guys, and welcome to the Whole Kit and Caboodle podcast. I'm Casey Hyman. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about something cat-related. We'll cover the various breeds, safety and health topics, and those quirky habits that make our cats so hilariously unique, as well as how to correct problem behaviors. This week, you'll learn about health issues related to the thyroid. We'll cover the different disorders, what symptoms to watch for, and how you can help your kitty live a full life around their condition. I'm grateful to you, my listeners, because you allow me to do what I love. So let me know how I'm doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Kitten Caboodle Pod and Twitter at Kitten K Pod. You can also find the show on YouTube. Just do a search for The Whole Kit and Caboodle. If you enjoy today's episode, please leave a 5-star review wherever you listen. It may seem trivial, but it really does help. If you'd like to monetarily support the show and local shelters, you can do so on my Anchor page at anchor.fm/kittencaboodlepod. You can also make a direct donation on my website at positivecatitudebehaviorist.com/mystory. Should you encounter a behavior problem with your cat that requires my professional services, you can contact me through my website, positivecatitudebehaviorist.com. You'll find my rates on the consultation page, as well as an informational packet outlining behavior basics that you can download for a small fee. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can listen to The Whole Kit and Caboodle on most major podcast directories. The thyroid gland is a gland in the front of the neck, with two lobes on each side of the trachea, aka the windpipe. It serves the same functions in cats as it does humans, namely producing two hormones, T3 and T4, which contain some of the iodine the body needs for certain biologic processes. The main thing these hormones do is regulate metabolism, or the speed of those body processes. Too little of T3 and T4 causes those processes to become sluggish, and too much makes them run too fast. Without getting too technical, thyroid hormones run on many different levels. Some of what they do takes place within a few minutes or hours, while others take several hours or days. Normally, they work alongside other hormones, like growth hormone and insulin, to build tissues. But when the body secretes excess amounts, they instead contribute to the breakdown of those same tissues. There are three main health conditions that can affect the thyroid. Let's start with the most common one, hyperthyroidism. About 10% of cats older than 10 years old will show signs as they age. Hyperthyroidism is caused by an overproduction of thyroid hormones. Most commonly, it's seen in middle-aged and older cats. Both thyroid lobes are typically enlarged, though they may not be big enough for your vet to feel them during a normal physical exam. No one knew cats could even get this condition until 1978, when it was first diagnosed in Boston. The following year, another doctor in New York, who recognized the disease, gave the first lecture presentation about it. Signs of hyperthyroidism appear gradually. The most typical symptoms include weight loss, increased appetite, and hyperactivity. You may also notice your kitty drinking and urinating more often, as well as vomiting, diarrhea, and more frequent poops. A vet may see a higher heart rate, heart murmur, shortness of breath, an enlarged heart, and signs of congestive heart failure. In rare cases, hyperthyroid cats may have a reduced appetite, be lethargic, and become depressed. In addition to those clinical signs, your vet will take a health history of your kitty to help with diagnosis. A blood test will measure thyroid hormone levels and offer confirmation of the disease. If your kitty is diagnosed with hyperthyroidism, a number of treatments are available. Many vets recommend radioactive iodine, especially for younger cats. It might sound dangerous, but it's actually safe, simple, and effective. The radioactive compound, I-131, concentrates within the tumor and destroys the overactive tissue without damaging the rest of the gland. I-131 can cure hyperthyroidism in 95% of cases with a single dose. A small number of cats require thyroid supplementation, and a few remain hyperthyroid but can keep the condition controlled with a second dose. Now, because I-131 is radioactive, there is concern for human exposure. However, with proper precautions, it's perfectly safe. After treatment, your kitty will stay in the hospital until the radiation level is low enough for a safe discharge. This may be anywhere between 5 days and 2 weeks. There will be handling restrictions at home because, while most of the radiation stays with the cat, some will be present in her saliva and urine. For the first 2 weeks after treatment, owners cannot have close contact with their pet, as in holding her, for more than 15 minutes a day, and you'll have to wash your hands afterwards. The cat cannot go outside, sleep with people, or be around pregnant women, women who are trying to get pregnant, and children under 12. Kitty's litter box must also have a plastic liner, and whoever cleans it will need to use gloves and wash their hands afterwards. After the 2 week period, everything can return to normal. It's also possible to surgically remove the thyroid gland. If the tumor affects only one side of the gland, then only that half is removed and treatment with a synthetic thyroid hormone will not be needed. If both sides are affected, the entire gland must be removed and the cat will need synthetic thyroid hormone for the rest of her life. The most likely complication with this option is that the parathyroid glands, which sit on either side of the thyroid gland, can be injured or also may be removed. In this case, your kitty will also require treatment with vitamin D and calcium supplements. If neither of these is the ideal treatment, as is the case with some older cats, daily medication with an antithyroid drug can be given. Methimazole blocks the production of the thyroid hormone and slows overproduction to something more normal. Most adverse effects develop in the first 3 months, so your vet will recommend blood tests and thyroid hormone measurements frequently during that time frame. This'll help in tweaking the dosage to maintain normal hormone levels. After those first few months, tests will become less frequent to monitor your pet's response to the treatment to ensure her numbers are in the normal range, and the medication can be adjusted as needed. Your vet will also identify whether additional medications may be needed to treat any complications that may arise. For some cats, none of these therapies are a viable option. When this happens, your vet will recommend a prescription diet. The food is deficient in iodine, and it works best in cats with mild hyperthyroidism. Likewise, it generally doesn't help pets with severe cases. If this treatment is used, the cat must only eat that special food for the rest of their lives. Adding other cat foods, table scraps, or even treats will render it ineffective. Though hyperthyroidism is the most common thyroid condition, there are two others a cat could experience as she gets older. We'll take a look at them in the second half of the episode. Hi listeners, Casey here. I want to take a minute to let you know about another way that you guys can help support me and the work that I do, podcast memberships. While I'm open to relevant sponsorships, I'd prefer to keep this podcast ad-free while also keeping it free to listen. Unfortunately, running a podcast is not free, and neither is hosting a website. So if you'd like to support the podcast, you can sign up for a monthly or yearly podcast membership. Members will get 2 extra episodes every month. Sometimes it'll be stories about my kitties, member stories, or cat-related news I find while perusing the internet. You'll also get exclusive access for a members-only Discord, where you can chat with me and with each other, and access to my private cat videos on TikTok. And while I keep rough episode transcripts available for free to improve accessibility, members can download cleaned-up versions, kind of like a mini-info packet for that particular topic. Membership costs only $7.99 a month, about the cost of most streaming services these days, or $95.88 for a full year. To join up, hop over to my website, positivecatitudebehaviors.com, and click on the membership tab. Payment is handled through PayPal for added security, and at no point do I have access to your payment information. Thanks so much for the support, everyone. Now, let's get back to the episode. Hypothyroidism is a condition characterized by an underactive thyroid that doesn't produce enough hormones to maintain a healthy metabolism. It's much more rarely seen in cats than its overactive counterpart, and is typically only seen in pets who have had the gland removed surgically or undergone iodine therapy for hyperthyroidism. That said, in very rare cases, the condition can be caused by cancer, iodine deficiencies, or congenital disease. Though they are rare, let's go over the different forms of hypothyroidism in cats. Congenital. Any condition labeled congenital means it's present from birth. Thyroid hormone is important for the development of the skeletal and nervous systems, so kittens that have this condition will show related symptoms from day one. Some of these symptoms include dullness, a physically small size compared to their litter mates, abnormal body proportions, such as a large and wide head, enlarged tongue and short limbs, lethargy, wobbly drunken gait, also known as ataxia, dry skin, and thin fur. Causes of congenital hypothyroidism can be divided into goiterous and non-goiterous forms. Goiterous refers to the enlargement of the thyroid gland. Goiterous is thought to be caused by an inherited defect or dietary issues with iodine in the pregnant mother cat or newborn kitten. Non-goiterous is usually caused by incomplete thyroid organ development. Congenital feline hypothyroidism has been seen in domestic shorthair cats as well as Abyssinian cats. Acquired hypothyroidism. Acquired hypothyroidism in cats is a lack of thyroid hormone in adult cats, which is also very rare. The condition can further be divided into three categories: primary, secondary, and iatrogenic. Each type has a different cause. Primary hypothyroidism is thought to result from either an immune-mediated disorder that destroys thyroid tissue, such as lymphocytic thyroiditis, or from thyroid gland atrophy, a shriveled and shrunken gland that does not function properly. Secondary hypothyroidism has only been reported in one cat that suffered head trauma, which caused a decrease in the production of thyroid-stimulating hormone, TSH, by the pituitary gland. Iatrogenic hypothyroidism can often occur in cats that are being treated for hyperthyroidism. Surgery or radioactive iodine therapy can sometimes leave cats with the opposite problem. Their levels of thyroid hormone are now too low. This will cause irreversible hypothyroidism in your cat, but it can be managed. Your cat can also have iatrogenic hypothyroidism if you're treating them with methimazole in a pill or transdermal gel, as a veterinarian tries to find the right dose for your cat. However, this is reversible over several months after finding the right dose. Cats with acquired hypothyroidism may display any of the following signs: lethargy, excessive weight gain, lack of appetite, dry, dull coat, hair loss, or scaly skin. Diagnosis of hypothyroidism in cats requires blood samples to be drawn and put through a specific test called a thyroid panel. A feline thyroid panel consists of multiple measurements. In a cat with hypothyroidism, their total T4 measurement is usually low. However, certain medications could also be responsible for lowering that number, so additional testing may be needed. This could include a blood sample for measuring free T4, meaning it's not bonded to your cat's blood protein, which means the T4 is able to penetrate body tissues, T3, and thyroid-stimulating hormone. In kittens with congenital hypothyroidism, X-rays may reveal bony changes. The vet may also see high cholesterol and anemia on a complete blood count and chemistry panel for adults. While these are not unique to a diagnosis for hypothyroidism, seeing them in your cat may lead to more specific tests, including thyroid measurements. For many cats with hypothyroidism, no treatment is necessary. But if the symptoms concern you, your vet may offer synthetic hormone supplements to restore normal blood levels of thyroid hormone. This is typically managed by a medication in either liquid or tablet form. Your vet will then schedule follow-up blood tests to monitor your kitty's overall health and hormone levels. A modified diet with reduced fat may also be recommended for your kitty while she recovers from hypothyroidism. Typically, cats recover well from hypothyroidism, with a notable improvement in their health seen in a short period of time. No one wants to hear the C word in their kitty's diagnosis. Thankfully, when it comes to thyroid cancer, it's not often a death sentence. The overall outlook is very good for cats who receive the appropriate therapy, and the earlier treatment is started, the better the outcome. Thyroid tumors develop as a result of abnormal cell replication or overgrowth of the cells that make up the thyroid gland, more specifically, the glandular tissues. Benign tumors are called adenomas, while malignant ones are referred to as carcinomas and adenocarcinomas. Interesting tidbit for you, In dogs who develop this condition, about 90% of tumors are malignant but non-functional, meaning they don't create excessive amounts of hormone. But in cats, even though most tumors are benign, they are functional. These tumors often lead to an overproduction of thyroid hormone and are the most common cause of hyperthyroidism in cats. Only about 2% of cats develop malignant tumors, and these are also functional. It's not uncommon for cats to have thyroid issues elsewhere in the body. When this happens, it's called ectopic thyroid tissue. It can be under the tongue, further down the neck, or all the way down to the top of the heart. This tissue can also develop tumors, so thyroid tumors can appear in several locations throughout the body. The reasons why a pet may develop thyroid tumors, or any cancer or tumor for that matter, is not always clear-cut. In fact, very few have a single known cause. Most seem to stem from a complex mix of risk factors, but science is relatively sure that there isn't any definite genetic connection to any specific cat breeds. Neither has there ever been any risk associated with the use of flea products. Because benign tumors are often the cause of hyperthyroidism, they share many of the same symptoms. The glands may be enlarged enough for your vet to be able to feel them, and in addition, your kitty may start to show signs of changes in her everyday behavior. She may groom herself less than usual, her coat will appear unkempt, matted, or greasy, and she could become restless, cranky, or even aggressive. Some cats will show many or all of these signs, but most will only show one or two. Thyroid tumors are typically identified through a physical exam, health history, and blood work. In most cases, these will find increased levels of T4, which is often sufficient for a diagnosis. But sometimes other procedures, like diagnostic imaging, may be recommended. These tests could include a thyroid scan, which is especially useful to detect tissue in other parts of the body, ultrasound, CT scans, urinalysis, x-rays, and MRIs. Ultimately, a tissue biopsy may be required to secure a definitive diagnosis. Undergoing these tests will help your vet to determine how far along the disease has progressed. Like hyperthyroidism, tumors can be treated with iodine, medication, surgery, or dietary therapy. If thyroid tissue is found throughout the body, surgery may be the best option, especially if a tumor is found below the tongue. Others, such as those in the chest cavity, will be difficult to remove surgically, so medication and radioactive iodine may be used. If left untreated, cats with hyperthyroidism and/or thyroid tumors will grow very sick over the years. Excess thyroid hormone affects virtually every organ in the body. As metabolism increases, and the heart works harder, cats can develop heart disease, high blood pressure, and eventually heart failure. They can also experience kidney disease, chronic wasting of the body, and blindness. Left alone long enough, it eventually can lead to death. Surgical removal of thyroid tumors has the best outcome if the mass is freely movable, less than 4 centimeters in size, and has not spread to other areas of the body. Long-term survival rates, 1 to 3 years, is often the outcome. Medications may still be needed after the surgery. As far as medical conditions go, thyroid issues are relatively easy to manage and treat if taken care of in a timely manner. So if you suspect your kitty may be dealing with thyroid problems, talk to your vet and get her checked out. Thanks for listening to the Whole Kit and Caboodle podcast. You can find more episodes of the show on most major podcast directories, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and others. If you enjoyed listening, be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. It helps me out more than you know. If you'd like to support the show, feel free to get in touch via social media. Don't forget to follow on Facebook and Instagram at Kit and Caboodle Pod, Twitter at Kit and K-Pod, and YouTube at The Whole Kit and Caboodle. Don't forget, you can also support me on my Anchor page at anchor.fm/kittencaboodlepod and make a direct donation on my website at positivecatitudebehaviorist.com/mystory. If you require my professional services, you can contact me through my website, positivecatitudebehaviorist.com, on the consultation services page. You can also sign up for podcast membership via the membership tab. I'll see y'all next time.